The job description that was given to me for this workshop read, and I'd like to quote it so you can see if we stick by it this afternoon or not, is that those that come here to this workshop will expect to hear about techniques in evangelism and how to cope with current issues such as drugs, women's lib, morals, etc. Now, because of that, there's basically two issues that are mentioned there. Now, don't get me wrong this afternoon. I'm not in any way opposed to cold contact evangelism or techniques that we've been using like the bridge and this kind of thing. But what I want us to do is try and expand and go the relationship-oriented route this afternoon. So the workshop is basically going to be divided into two types of sessions. One where we'll talk about those current issues themselves and go into counseling ideas and that kind of thing related to those specific issues. And the other one will be the techniques of how to relate to people more effectively. Okay? Now, I think what you need to understand is what I'm sharing here is not from vast experience. It's just what we've been doing in Boulder the last few years and what we found to be fairly successful there in working with girls. And I think it came originally out of 1 Timothy 1:5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And that's kind of, if you really are working with people, and, you know, a lot of times we say, all you need to do is love people. Well, that's true, but it also, sometimes that love needs a little guidance and a few practical ideas of where to steer it. But essentially, I really believe that our ministry, our witnessing, is an overflow of our walk with God. Now, I think that's something we've heard before, but when you hear it, said, you need to take that and kind of think, is that really what I'm living by and basing my ministry on that, or am I kind of acknowledging that and then going out and trying to do something? We have two major emphases that we've been working on in Boulder. One is like depth in the Word of God. That we have two things, the Word of God and the character of God. Now, if you say that, you need to set your ministry up around it. So that we expect, for instance, the girls to do 8 hours minimum, 8 to 10 hours Bible study a week. But you see, if you're going to say things like that, then you have to take into consideration, you have to allow for that in scheduling. Because 8 to 10 hours is a significant time block. And for that reason, some of what we say here this afternoon will have to be adapted according to what you're doing in your area. Because, it was easy for me to do that because that's what the men are doing where we're at. But for those of you that have tighter schedules, you need to think of ways that you can adapt what we talk about and not, you know, go back and be hot to start your own thing. So look for ways that you can adapt some of this stuff and not just, you know, absorb it and go do the same thing. The other thing I'm talking about is an emphasis on the character of God. And I think what really started my thinking along these lines was the example of David. David really knew the character of God. You know, for him, when you read through the Psalms and he's saying that God is a loving God and a merciful God, those aren't just words that he's saying. But if you look at his life, he based decisions on that. And so I think if you're emphasizing the character of God in your area, decisions are being made on the basis of that. An example of what I mean is, remember the story where David sinned in numbering the people? Well, when I first read that, I thought, well, that's not too bad of a sin. I mean, you know. But God saw the heart, and the heart was that David was relying in the arm of flesh instead of in the arm of God. And for David to do that was a pretty bad sin. And for that sin, God sent a seer, a prophet, to David, and he gave him three choices to pay for that sin. The three choices were famine throughout the whole land for a period of 3 years, or all the armies round about marching in victory for a period of 3 months, or the hand of the angel of God slain throughout the land for 3 days. And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. It's one of those understatements in the Bible. And I stopped and I thought, now, which one of those would I have chosen? I thought, well, you know, he hid from Saul for quite a while, so 3 months from the armies roundabout, maybe you could hide in the hills and the caves and start figuring how you can get out of this, you know. Or the famine. I mean, obviously, you know, the king was going to have the last grain. So the people where he was at may not starve. But, you know, who could get away from the hand of the angel of God? And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait, but let me fall now into the hand of God, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. And what that told me was that David was basing decisions, big decisions and important decisions, on the character of God. He hoped in God's mercy. It wasn't just something for him to say, God is a merciful God. So when I talk about stressing those two things, that's the level at which I mean the character of God. Okay, I think what I'd like to do at this point is just restate a couple of things that you're already probably pretty aware of, is that the key element, I think, in friendship evangelism is friendship relationships. And I really believe that consistent witnessing is friendship witnessing. A couple of things that really confirmed this to me was, I've been really concerned sometimes the way we go out and we approach people on our commitment to those people is very shallow. And I think that if we look in the scriptures and we have the example of Jesus, you see, what was his commitment to us evangelistically? And it was total. Well, then that needs to be the way that we approach people, not in a casual way, or not to go out and just share an illustration, but to share our lives and to share the Lord that way with a higher, mentally, see, there's a mental adjustment there in our own personal level of commitment in sharing the Lord. And I think that's a key thing in thinking about friendship evangelism. And I think the second key element is that you have to allow for the time. There's a greater time commitment involved. In the 2 years that I've been at Boulder, we have never yet had a night when we all went out witnessing. And yet we've had more girls come to know the Lord than we ever did before. And the reason is, and the exciting thing about it is that the girls are taking initiative on their own. And they're using situations and opportunities where they're at. Instead of trying to create something, at least use, first of all, what God has given you. And so I find that the girls are taking initiative and it's become more natural to them. It is really an overflow of their own walk with God. It's a natural thing happening where they're at. And also time-wise, is I think you have to, most of you have seen this little thing. I didn't even mean to show this, but yesterday some kids were asking about it. And you've seen this little stair step illustration. What this is a time element. And all in here is the truth of Jesus Christ. And these are steps along the way that have things that people say or things that happen in a person's life that somehow, well, it would be what we call sowing the word. It leads to this point where a person becomes a Christian. And I think that we need to realize that these are really important. Like when I look back on my own testimony, you know, my first year at a university was at a university in Japan, and I'd done a lot of preparing and studying Japanese to get ready for that. And I was expecting questions that I could handle, like, are you an American? And I knew how to say that back. Yes, I'm an American. But that isn't what happened. You know, I'd been on campus 30 minutes in this foreign country, and this guy came up to me and said, what's your philosophy of life? I was just out of high school. You know, what's my philosophy? But I was also on this trip about being able to answer everybody. So, I hem-hawed something out, like, Well, because our society is basically Christian-oriented, I suppose that you could say blah, blah, blah. And it satisfied him. But the Spirit of God used that question in my life for the next 2 years to really make me think more seriously about God and what I really did believe. And so I don't know if that guy was a Christian. I don't know what. But it was something that was very strategic in my thinking more seriously about God and eventually becoming a Christian. So I think we need to realize that we're not pressing for the decision. And if that's really ingrained in us, we need to rethink that. But to realize the value of just sharing something like that and asking people, and they may give you an answer that may sound to you, you know, you go back and you tell somebody, well, they're not interested or they've got this all scoped out. But we don't know what's going on in those people's lives, and the Spirit of God can really use something like that. But we have to be willing to invest a time element there with people that isn't just a one encounter, maybe. See, when we begin developing friendships, we realize that it may take us a semester, it may take the whole year to really develop those relationships with people. And we don't want to throw up our hands and look for somebody else if God is at work in that situation. So I think we have to allow for time and not feel the pressure of this person has to become this. And I think something that really helps there is relating to people in a group situation. You see, we say girls are more relationship-oriented. But do we really relate to them in the group that they're already in? Or do we, in the way we approach them, try to pull them out of that group? Or do we look for the loner who's probably a problem-centered person to start with, or they'd be with the group, you know? And I think that one thing that really helps in friendship evangelism is to begin to think at that level in terms of relating to groups of people instead of just one person. Now, we have several activities I want us to do. Begin to put the weight of the responsibility on the girls that you're working with for this. It's their walk with God that's going to produce the witnessing. And so, you see, if you have to feel like you have to get them going and beat them out and this kind of thing, maybe what you need to be doing with them for more effective witnessing is helping them in their walk with God. Because if we really believe the witnessing is an overflow of their walk with God and they don't have a good walk with God, nothing's going to overflow. You know, it's going to take the whole thing they've got to keep filling them up. We've done several things in a dormitory to really begin to draw girls out in a friendship way. I need to say one more thing here, too, is that a lot of times we set up and we do things with the pretense of getting one foot in so we can share the gospel. And I think that if we aren't genuine in our friendship with people, they'll see right through that. And I don't think it honors God. And so we need to think through on why are we doing this? Is it to get one foot in the door? Are we really befriending them? Some things that we've done in the dorms that on a group level that are just in the way of ideas, we've had things like popcorn parties and candy apple parties. All that kind of thing on a dorm floor really brings the girls out and gives the floor. You see, you're not working at bringing those girls to yourself at that point, but what you're doing is you're giving that dorm floor unity. And they're beginning to relate to each other, not just to the Christians, but even to each other. And so you're building a good environment in which to work. Okay, but what I want you to do is eliminate from your thinking popcorn parties and candy apple parties and an invitation to join an evangelistic Bible study. And I want you to come up with 5 ideas in 5 minutes, just very practical things that you could do along that line of something that would really help you create an environment in a dorm situation in which it's going to be easy to develop good friendships and relationships. One thing I'd probably point out is how limited our thinking really is. We're already in such a rut. It's just going to take, you know, God to get us out of that rut and expand our thinking and give us creative ideas. anything that you want to set up, it doesn't necessarily have to stay in the dorm. And what we're talking about, too, is getting this environment built, you know, and established that's going to be really good later on, too. Most dorms don't serve Sunday night dinners, right? So maybe what you need to do is maybe cooperate with a local church and set up something kind of en masse or something where you get lots of people to come out to a Sunday supper thing. And, you know, just something like that where kids don't have a lot of money and maybe it's just a 50-cent chili deal or something like that. But what you do is you get those people out of the dorm and you get them to supper, and maybe you could set it up around round tables that are really conducive for this. And just, you know, kids respond to something like that. You've gotten them out of the dorm and you've gotten them to a dinner table situation, which is very good for conversation, and you're meeting people. And they're meeting each other. See, it's not just the point, it isn't just for you to meet them, it's also for them to get relationships going all around, because if that's starting, people thrive and respond to that kind of an environment. And so you need to take time to build that environment. The main idea here is to get your thinking going in other directions and realize, boy, we've got a lot to learn in this and directions that we can go. Thinking of these things, remember, you don't always have to think of something evangelistic. What if you do just get maybe the Girls on Your Floor United or in that dorm floor to maybe pedal on a bike trip or something with no ulterior motives? Like, we have to get them out in the wilderness and then we'll get them around and we'll share somebody's share their testimony. Go on the bike trip, enjoy the bike trip, and trust God to use it. See, that's the kind of thing I mean, is in the back of our mind. It's like we had someone share with us this summer about it's really unhealthy if we feel like everything we have to do, we have to spiritualize it. Because what that is doing is it's compartmentalizing our walk with God and saying some things, you know, are more holy than other things. And yet, if our ministry is an overflow of our walk with God, that shouldn't be so. We don't need to have that compartmentalized thinking. Just trust God to use it. Okay, as long as we're talking about environment, before we get into the current issues thing that I want to deal with a little bit here, I want to talk about the environment that we're operating in here in the States, and, well, it's getting pretty much worldwide, I think, but you all know what a thesis is? It's an idea. You know what the opposite of that is? Antithesis. Good. Antithesis or antithesis. Now, this is where you can see life is so simple. It's right, wrong. Yes, no. That's it, you see. And I think we see this kind of a scriptural pattern set up as far as what God has us do in our life, and we can keep it pretty simple. The problem is, we don't have either one of those today. We have a synthesis, which means what's right for you may not be right for me. And what those people are really saying when they operate in this kind of an environment is there's no absolute being. No absolute being. That's kind of icky, isn't it? And no absolute value system. Now, for those of you that caught it, this is why we emphasize the character of God, the absolute being. And this, the value system, is why we emphasize the Word of God. And if we're emphasizing those, we are overcoming this synthetic, this synthesis environment. See, that's synthetic thinking. It's not true thinking. This is scriptural thinking. So that's kind of why we emphasize that. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go to this little exercise that I think will really help you. Divide your paper into columns of five, and I'm going to give you a title for the top of each of those columns. In your last column, you may want to be a little broader, and your first column a little thinner, if that helps. Now, in the first column for the title at the top, you can write issue, the issue. Now, there are a lot we can develop we'll start, we won't even probably finish with one really completely today, but maybe to get your thinking going and to be something good for you to carry on doing later on, is list the issue like, loose sexual morals would be one. Drugs would be another issue. You might want to leave a little space there. Women's lib could be a third issue. Now later on you might want to think in your area or your particular campus or wherever you're at, what really the issue is there that's kind of hot. And then think all the way through on this pattern. In the second column, put manifested problems. And that would be possible. This is not in any way exhaustive, but possible manifested problems. The third area would be deciphered need. The deciphered need, that's as you see it. I think this third column will deal with developing some personal skill in counseling. The fourth column is God's solution. And the fifth column is how we communicate God's solution. Back under God's solution, that could also include references or synoptic comments that you want to write in there. But references are fine too. Now the bulk of the workshop I really want to spend on is how we communicate God's solution. And I'll give you a few, I'll give you five general guides. Now these are general guides that we're going to take and relate specifically to these issues. But the first one of a general guide on how we communicate God's solution is the importance of not being shocked. If you shock a girl by your reaction to her sin, you've lost ground. Second would be an emphasis on 2 Corinthians 5:17, that she's a new creation. Third, don't limit a girl's potential because of past sin. I don't know how many of you have seen this happen, but it's kind of like, oh, she's really a neat girl. You know, it's too bad that... And you kind of qualify what her potential is in God. And if she's a new creation, then that qualification from the old life shouldn't be there. Four, listen and meet them at their point of need. We aren't very good listeners because we have an illustration to share. Or we have this line that fits in here, or this experience, my testimony, whatever it is, we're trying to figure out how to worm it in there. We don't really listen to the people and meet them at their point of need. You know, a couple years ago we had a wild hippie street people type summer training program in Boulder, and I remember one of the meetings, you know, we were trying to really groove on this scene and tie in where they were at and all this, and so we got this Christian guru, you know, and he came over and he was giving the heavy guru talk, and finally this guy on the front row said, you know, after he talked 45 minutes, well, all I want to know is how can you be saved? And here was the guru, you know, and here's all these people, you know, just wanting the simple facts down here. So make sure whatever activities, whatever you're doing, you're communicating with people at their level. And fifth, really important in friendship evangelism, developing relationships, communicating God's solution, is to build their confidence. If a girl feels threatened, you're going to have trouble communicating God's solution. And you know, I know you've heard this said that we tend to threaten girls with cold contact evangelism. Well, go one step beyond that and ask yourself why that is. You see, you're a new person, which is a threat. But you're also presenting a new idea, and ideas threaten girls just as easily as people do. So you're a double threat approaching a person, and somehow you've got to build their confidence. Let them know that you're interested, that they have something to offer you too. You're not. What it does is it eliminates the teacher-pupil relationship, which sometimes we have to overcome later on. Okay, back to this little chart now. I'm going to take one of these, and you can help me go across with it if you have some ideas there. Let's take the first one, would be like loose sexual morals. Okay, what would be a manifested problem? Can you think of one right off hand? Well, maybe I better give you an example so you know where my thinking's at. A girl that has been sexually involved before she becomes a Christian or wherever you're talking with her at tends to have a poor self-concept. That is something we can anticipate. A person has a poor self-concept. So that will be probably a manifested problem. It could be an insecurity factor. See, why did she get involved in the first place? Loneliness. Now, we're going to think through a little bit more thoroughly on these in a minute. I'll just kind of give you some examples and then give you a chance to do the thinking here. A deciphered need. Well, forgiveness. You know, that would be one right offhand. Fulfillment. Assurance of her worth to God. Think up what God's solution... Did Jesus Christ ever deal with that specific problem? See, sure he did. Okay. What was his solution? Go and sin no more. Or think up some references or think up some examples or things that you could put under there that communicate God's solution. And then how we communicate God's solution. Total acceptance. Unqualified acceptance. And then you can think through on these more specifically. I'm just trying to be general here and give you an idea. And start thinking on the levels of these issues that are going around, because this is something that you can personally develop, is to become more knowledgeable and anticipate situations and people's needs and things before you ever really get into any situation, if these are things that are going around in our society. The reason that I'm having you do so many of these little things is to get your thinking started, and maybe it's something you would carry on back in your area. What I'm basically trying to do is to get us to communicate more effectively with people. And we just don't work on that. And there's a lot that we can do to develop just plain old skill. A hazard on doing something like this is don't begin to compartmentalize people and to put them into categories, little holes, you know, well, this one was on drugs, therefore this pattern. That's not really always true, and that's why you have down possible manifested problems. I mean, that list could go on, and, you know, you just don't know what people are going to, what situations and issues will do to different people. So I think on this, don't develop some little plan to approach every person that's had that experience, because then you'll be more canned than ever, and that's defeating the purpose. Basically, you can assume this, that people that have been on drugs tend to be very fearful people. Whether they are on the drugs or they're off the drugs, they're very fearful. At least all the ones that I've come in contact with so far have been. There's a fear of being separated from people. That's why they go to communes and they dwell in group situations. That's why they don't like to trip alone. You know, part of tripping is having the right person there to trip with you. And it's not only fear of being separated from people, but it's fear of being separated from God. Now, if you know that that is ingrained in a person who's had a lot of experiences with, or some experience even, with drugs, then how you communicate God to them, you see, should take that into account. If they were satisfied, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And so maybe what they need to hear is about the abundant life. See? You don't come in and establish, you know, for everyone will be judged and this. That isn't what they need to hear about God at that point. What they need to hear about God is something that will meet them where they're at. You know, that in Christ they're not separated, they're united. The way that you're going to communicate that is by your availability to them. Now, I'm not trying to get us to relate to problem-centered people. I think that some of us will always have a few of those people around. I've got one girl that's still around. It's turning into a five-year period now. But, you see, the thing is, she doesn't consume me, but I am available to her. One thing about this is, these issues here are coming out in, I'm not sure that all of you can relate to all of these issues. Like, I'm sure that at a university like the University of Colorado, we probably have a little more in the way of drugs and that kind of thing, although I don't think we have what our reputation has. You know, it's just not consistent with the reputation Boulder has, but we probably have more of that than, say, a small college in, you know, mid-America or something like that. But things like this women's lib are so ingrained in our thinking right now that we don't even recognize them as women's lib things. You know, you do not have to be out carrying a sign opening doors for men to be a women's libber. I think an issue like submission, look at the marriages in the States, my land. Women's lib and this idea is just ingrained. And so maybe what you need to do under that issue is define for you in your area what that issue really is. These may be things that are in our society with the way women are treated. But if we go back to the scriptures, we have so many examples of the way God deals with people. And he always elevates women, you know. And I think that we've got one girl in our ministry that used to be she was not only a women's lib, she was an organizer, you know. Okay, that kind of a girl, you can't even recognize her now. But this was her hot thing. And the thing that really communicated to her was just the way Jesus dealt with women. And see, the truth was enough to communicate that to her, the example of Jesus. Another thing that really communicated to her was the way the NAV fellows treated us in our area. She'd never seen guys treat girls the way the fellows treated us. And she responded to it. She didn't revolt. Okay, that is an idea for you to take and do something with if you're interested in developing skill in relating to people with issues. And if you're short on issues, you know, look at a newspaper. Maybe something like that would help. One last thing. We're not going to have time to really go into this, but I'll give this to you as an idea to do back in your area with your girls. At this, one time at this summer training program that I've mentioned before that I was at, I was sitting in our living room. When we went on evangelism, we went down to our living room. The people, we had hippies and things crashing with us. And we didn't go out on evangelism. We just, in fact, a lot of the girls didn't even go out of their bedroom, you know. But anyway, I was talking with a girl in our living room one time, and she said, "See that mountain?" I said, "Yeah, I see that mountain." I was trying to really get in there and groove with her on this mountain, you know. And she says, "That's my God." And I said, "Boy, you know, that's really neat. I see God in that mountain, too. But you know what I see, too? I see the God that made that mountain. Not just the creation, but the creator." And that's an example of what I mean, taking people where they're at and not reacting to what they say. You know, "See that God? That's my mountain." I mean, while you pantheistic atheists, you know, don't start putting a person off with trying to figure out how you can correct them in their error and, you know, instruct them in the way more perfect. But relate to them right where they're at. And if she saw God in that mountain, use it. Because God is in that mountain. He did make that mountain. But she had no concept of a personal God, so you have to go on beyond that. Now, what you can do back in your area to really develop skills in this is just go through a magazine and cut out some pictures and set up some role play situations with a couple of people. Don't give them any time to think about it. Just get two people up here and then show them the situation. Tell one person, you're a person that's been involved in drugs. Now, that has been your bag. When you get the other person, you communicate to them. And see, you begin to develop a real communicating skill on issues if you do that. There's some people, you know, their family is their thing, so they don't have a need for the gospel. Just, you know, I don't know what all I've got in here, but for some people it's, you know, ecology right now. Some people it's poverty, or they're really hung up on, you know, things. For some people, drugs is not tripping. Drugs is the family medicine cabinet, tranquilizers, etc., that are socially acceptable. But they have the same things in that category that you were thinking about with people on drugs a minute ago. You are what you eat. Identify with that. The energy crisis. A lot of people are caught up in that one right now. Prevention, I don't even say crime prevention, whatever else you want to say. You know, nature, whatever. Just brainstorm, go through a magazine, just tear out pictures, paste them on there, and then have people role play situations. And it really helps people learn communication skill at a basic level. Another couple of things that you can do is have them develop questions that they can come out with and approach people with. An interesting thing that we tried is we sent, at this particular program, we sent people out with a specific assignment to go out and to talk to people and not share their testimony or the gospel. And they all came back and they thought, you know, they came back and they were so discouraged they couldn't do it. And you see, we were hoping they would share the gospel and their testimony if they had the opportunity. But we were also hoping that they just develop communication skills. We had a lot of fun doing it. So these are just a couple of ideas in the area of girls' evangelism that you could take off, develop, expand these, and then come up with some of your own.